Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful, July 24th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp, here with an unfortunate one. Regardless of how you feel about the man, Hulk Hogan passed away at the age of 71. TMZ has reported as such. Man, a lot to talk about here. We're going to discuss the life, the career, the legacy, the controversies of Hulk Hogan. Jimmy will be joining me shortly. It is his birthday right now, by the way. So he's going to hop onto this stream. Ah, man, this is a complicated one. I want to, first off, of course, send love to the family, friends, fans of Hulk Hogan. We're going to talk about this for quite a while today. If you send super chats or humper chats, I'm going to donate those. We will read them on the air. We will address them on the air. We are open to talking about anything. Personally, I am going to donate the proceeds to the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund. Anytime somebody passes or something like that, don't want to make money off of super chats for that. So it will go to a good cause. If you have an issue with that, just don't send a super chat. Don't send a humper chat. I do want to thank our sponsors for allowing these shows to exist without interruption during the broadcast. That's NordVPN.com/Fightful. Head over there, check it out, save some money on your pay-per-views, watch all your stuff on Netflix from WWE. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Great mattress. We thank them so much. Blue Chew, not going to speak too much on that. Y'all know what that is. And of course, my bookie AG, use the code Fightful. I want to thank our wonderful sponsors again for allowing this to appear uninterrupted in that case. Oh, man. Hulk Hogan, 71. First off, 71, man. Yeah, I lost both my grandparents last year. It was around the ages of like 80, and I felt like I had more time with them. And 80 is a good amount of time. I mean, there are family members of this man that are reeling. And there had been a lot of question marks and rumors about his health over the last month and a half or so as he was really gearing up for this Real American Freestyle Wrestling thing. And we're going to talk to Jimmy a little bit more about that. I don't have many connections close to Hogan. I've got one. Jimmy has some people that have been close to Hogan, and I'll save that for him speaking directly on it. But what we can speak on is memories of Hulk Hogan, whether positive, negative, or indifferent. I spoke with Extra a bit ago, and the way that I explained it was he is integral to the history and growth of professional wrestling. And pop culture in general, from what he did in the 1980s with WWF to the heel turn in the 1990s that is, you know, still affected and influential to this day. 2000s, he was a part of the reality series boom, and that was, you know, one of the first times that we saw like a behind the scenes look at someone's life, as fictionalized as it may be. And then in the 2010s, he was a part of pop culture for all the wrong reasons, with the Gawker lawsuit and the, quite frankly, the racism emerging. So like every decade, Hulk Hogan, and then his passing here in the 2020s, like every decade, right in the middle of the decade, there's been a huge explosion of Hulk Hogan in the headlines. You know what I mean? Or from a visibility standpoint. And positive, negative, and indifferent that speaks to the legacy of Hulk Hogan. You can draw a line and say mid-80s, WWF wrestling boom, mid-90s, gigantic heel turn that transcended pop culture. The mid-2000s, a part of the reality series boom. The mid-2010s, a part of a major lawsuit that, quite frankly, got a website shut down and exposed some racism. And then the 2020s, he passes away. Of course, he had movies, he had TV shows, he had a whole lot of stuff that was just that kept him in the limelight. You know what I mean? He was the logo. He was so recognizable. And when you look like Hulk Hogan, I mean, you are the face of something. It's easy to forget how big the man was, right? Because he's like standing next to King Kong Bundy or The Undertaker or Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Andre the Giant. He was an enormous man. Like, in sort of set the stage for the baby faces needing to be these big guys for a while. And it's hard to create sympathy off of those. But he's one of those guys where wrestling obviously would not be the same without him. And then there's a lot of people within the wrestling world that are sort of reckoning with these changes, that are reckoning with like the changes to his reputation over the last 10 years. People that wanted him to step up and sort of, you know, make good for a lot of things. Somebody sends in, listen, I'm not going to read disrespectful ones or jokes about a man's passing. I appreciate the donation. Did Hulk Hogan do more harm, good or harm for wrestling? I think he did more good for wrestling than harm. He did a lot more harm to his own reputation in the last 10 years. You can say what you want about the union busting and playing politics behind the scenes. I definitely think that I know that having the definitive character flaw that he had as far as racism affected the way that people are remembering him and the conflict internally of which people feel right now. Do you expect SmackDown to be a tribute show? I expect them to have a pretty heavy Hulk Hogan motivation, influence, and the like on that show. Lieutenant Randazzo says, Sean, I'll watch the stream later, but wanted to say that I hope history remembers Terry for who he was inside and outside the ring, and I'm happy to donate to UNCF in his memory. Well, thank you so much. I mean, that's what we're here to talk about. Listen, I have made it clear how I felt about Hulk Hogan personally, but we are also here to talk about the memories and the influence that he had within the ring, inside the ring as well. And we are now going to bring on the birthday boy, Jimmy, how you doing?
What a way to celebrate a birthday, eh, Sean Rossap?
This is going to be my day off, my first day off in a few weeks. And I got out of the shower, I looked at my phone, and I said, well, time to get to work.
I mean, this is going to be the new story of the year in pro wrestling. I don't think anything this year is going to be any bigger.
Sure.
And so what have you covered so far?
Just kind of reckoning with the history and all that. We're going to talk about in ring history, outside the ring legacy. We're getting super chats, humper chats, and all that. People can share their memories. Again, I want to say I'm not reading disrespectful things. Quite frankly, if you want to call the man a racist, he said he was as much. So I mean, like that. But I'm not going to make like read off jokes about his passing or anything like that, guys. That's a waste of money. But Van Twinblade says he can't say anything nice. So here's $5. Be excellent to each other. But Jimmy, you had actually brought up a couple days ago that people close to Hogan were more concerned about his health. Now this came up like about a month ago as well, but at that time they kind of downplayed it.
Yeah. And it was just yesterday. So just yesterday you and I did Fightful's The Hump, and I told you what people that I knew, people that knew Hulk Hogan, what they had told me. And Bubba the Love Sponge, you know, I guess now he was right. Bubba the Love Sponge had come out on his radio show. He had said, you know, Hogan wasn't doing well, was in hospital bed at home and all this stuff. And I know people that are close to Hulk Hogan. They wanted me to make it clear that they weren't part of his management team, but they knew Hulk Hogan. They told me that his team had been keeping this really quiet, Hogan's team. They said that they weren't happy with how Hogan's team had handled things from a communication perspective, because when Bubba was saying all this stuff, nothing was really being said to counter aside from friends of Hogan's, like Bischoff. And they said that they felt Hogan's team had ran him into the ground. And that was a quote they had given me, ran him into the ground over the last year promoting the beer brand. I posted on Twitter earlier today, a clip from Logan Paul's podcast. Hogan was on that last summer and he was talking about the grind from the beer promotion. He was talking about the lack of sleep. And of course, people have to be jackasses online. So somebody commented and said, way to manufacture a cause of death. I did no such thing. Basically, people that I know that knew Hogan, they told me how they felt about the way that Hogan's team was handling him. And the Logan Paul clip kind of backed that up. Now, I do want to say, before we talk about Hogan's legacy, I want to say what TMZ has reported, because so far, they're the only report I've seen. A lot of other outlets now have covered it, but they're all quoting TMZ. And I know that Clearwater Police are going to be doing a press conference, but as we're doing this at about 1 o'clock Eastern time, I don't think they've done the presser yet. So according to TMZ, medics were dispatched to Hulk Hogan's home early this morning. Operators stated it was regarding a cardiac arrest. Police cars and EMTs were parked outside his home. He was carried on a stretcher and into an ambulance. He was treated by fire and rescue personnel before being taken to a nearby hospital. And he's pronounced dead at the hospital. And so that's going to lead to speculation that he had a heart attack. But until more comes out, we don't really know anymore. But yeah, that's all I had heard about it. Like I said, people I know that knew him weren't happy with his management team, but I don't know anything else right now as far as the cause. You're muted.
He had heavy promotion for the Real American Beer, which was somewhat subsided by the reaction that he got at the WWE show. So they had some other people doing that as well, but had the Real American Freestyle Wrestling thing that he was the face of. I mentioned I spoke to Extra earlier, and a lot of what we spoke about was how he was the logo for so many things because of how he looked. Even the skullet, the bandana, the mustache, even the painted on beard at one point. Like, it all became like an identifiable thing. You could post the silhouette of the facial hair and the hair and know who he is without any facial features beyond that.
Like, for sure. For sure.
He was very identifiable.
I mean, I grew up a wrestling fan in the 80s, and he was the guy. I mean, I became a fan in 1985, right around the time of the first WrestleMania. I was 10 years old, and Hogan was the man. And, you know, it's too bad that his legacy and his reputation will always have a dark cloud hanging over it because of the things that he said and the things that he did after his in-ring career ended. Because in the ring, he's the biggest star in the history of pro wrestling.
Sure.
I mean, there's no debate. He's the biggest star in the history of pro wrestling. He's the most famous name worldwide in the history of pro wrestling. He is a household name. My mother is 87. And if I say to my mother, name me five pro wrestlers, she would say Hulk Hogan five times.
Sure.
That's just how it is. He drew the biggest crowds over the longest period of time of anybody in the business. He was at the forefront of two of the peak periods of U.S. pro wrestling, you know, the mid-80s, the national expansion, and really the worldwide expansion of the WWF and the Rock and Wrestling Connection, and then the resurgence in the late 90s with the NWO and the Monday Night Wars, and he was right there. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about politics and about he had creative control and he held others down, but the numbers are the numbers. He was the biggest name in the history of pro wrestling, and can't be debated.
And we'll get to that. I do want to preface this. That way we don't have to go back to it repeatedly. Hulk Hogan is going to have a complicated legacy, especially with a lot of people who felt betrayed and heartbroken. Like, listen, him having a tape being leaked doesn't affect that to me. That's his private business, and it's very unfortunate that got out there. I hate that Bubba the Love Sponge was out there speaking on his health after they were estranged, and that happened. However, the things that he said, and I want to make this clear again, the man was so specifically racist that a guy who has lived in Kentucky has never heard some of these things. One of the things after his son almost killed a man in a car crash that he said was that he hoped that his family was not reincarnated into a black family as karma. Like, he was an admitted racist. And when he was brought back to WWE to apologize, he didn't apologize. He basically said, Watch out for those cameras, brother. And that's it. Now that, as a result, has led to a very complicated relationship. And listen, you can land where you want to politically. A lot of his political ideologies and endorsements over the last 2 years reinforced those statements to a lot of people for obvious reasons. So let's talk. We'll get through some of those super chats first, and then we're going to talk about the career of Hulk Hogan. Eddie said, summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As Sean, my brother, appreciate you donating the funds. An organization that has benefited my family and people look like me in getting education. No question this time. Just wanted to say thank you.
What is this about the funds? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm matching the funds for United Negro College Fund.
Oh, that's cool.
PDF says happy birthday, Jimmy. And Orion Ben says happy birthday, Jimmy. This will be a day. It will be a day. Let's see here. Man, we've got so many here. Fid says, so torn in how I feel. If you were a kid from the 80s, you can't say he wasn't a huge part of why you were a fan. But when it comes to Terry, the man, that's becoming the case with so many people from that era, as well as someone saying, did not see Flair outliving Hogan on my bingo card. Yeah. Like there's a lot of that where you're reckoning with the character and the performer.
Yeah, and you know, just to tell you how different the business was in the 80s, in case you are a relatively new fan, back then they made their money through live events. That's how they made their money, through ticket sales. And so when you would watch their television, and I can tell you this as a fan back then, when you would watch their television, rarely did you ever see Hulk Hogan on their syndicated show. You know, maybe you saw him on Piper's Pit, like the talk segments, or you saw him on, you know, the Snake Pit or whatever, but rarely would you see him in the ring. Because they wanted you to buy a ticket and come out to the arena to see him, because that's how they made their money. And if anything, that made his aura that much bigger, because you never saw him wrestle on television with the exception of Saturday Night's Main Event, which was like once a month or maybe once a quarter on NBC. And the rare occasion, I still have a memory in my head of U.S. Memorial Day, might have been 86, when he wrestled Cowboy Bob Orton on Superstars of Wrestling. And I remember it because he never wrestled on television. And yeah. and so the fact that he wrestled that match made it such a bigger deal. That whole thing just made him that much of a bigger star that you never saw him wrestle on television. And yeah, he was just a massive, massive star. I mean, what else can you say?
I always loved All American Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And it was like weekend show. It'd be on after church. I was probably barely too young to remember it even, but I mean, the intro was him ripping his shirt off and it was like, you know, him walking out and all that stuff.
I mean, the original WWE Superstars back in like 86, they started with the walkout of him when he was going to the ring to face the Iron Sheik for the title.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that walkout where they show him at Madison Square Garden in the back and he just kind of standing there for a minute because yeah. I think he's waiting for the signal. And then he walks out and him beating the Iron Sheik. I mean, that started the whole thing. And, you know, something people might not also know if you're newer fans, the WWF was not the start of Hulkamania. The start of Hulkamania was the AWA.
Yeah.
And that's where Hulk Hogan became the Hulkster, was in the AWA, because that's when Rocky III had sure. come out. And he, Vern Gagne, man, you can go back and look at that. He wouldn't put the title on Hogan because I thought yeah. he was afraid he was going to leave. So he wouldn't put the title on him. And Mr. Man sure did. And, yeah, what a rocket
that Do was. You know that we have negative podcast reviews because of how you say Vince McMahon? Yeah, no. there's like angry Apple reviews because they claim that you say Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon? No, what?
You can go back and look. We encourage you guys.
People need more in their lives if they're leaving reviews like that on Apple. You need more to do. Get a hobby.
Vegas says his final appearance was getting booed out of the arena, hawking cheap beer.
Yeah.
Very fitting. Glad to see he knew how far he fell on his way out. I mean, listen, it was retirement. I don't know. He wasn't going to be leg dropping people at 71.
Right. He wasn't even leg dropping people at 61.
I know. We thank Collins. We thank Collins for sending this. Thanks for donating this. Think what you want about the man. Cannot argue his impact on wrestling. All of us had our bad moments. His were his own. I mean,
they were pretty bad.
Particularly bad. I can tell you, I've had some bad moments. You will never hear me have a moment like that. Like that it was just, it's really bad. Richier says, at the end, I feel bad for his family and fans that he meant a lot to, not Hulk Hogan as a person. He co-signed the hatred at the end of his life and was a racist. We can talk a little bit about the lawsuit that emerged from that too, because again, I had mentioned in the middle of the decade, he was headline grabber every decade since the 80s. The wrestling 80s boom, the 90s heel turn, mm-hmm. the mid 2000s with a reality show, mm-hmm. the 2010s with a lawsuit, and now the 2020s. But like that specific lawsuit also, I've had multiple people. It's so unusual because they watched the Hulk Hogan documentary and the Gawker documentary, and they're like, the odd Hulk Hogan comment about Terry Bollea versus Hulk Hogan explain to them the difference in a character and a performer. And they were like, as stupid as that comment seemed, I think it highlighted to a lot of people, Terry Bollea is not Hulk Hogan. And sure. there's a whole lot of people that realize Hulk Hogan, the character, would never say the things that Terry Bollea said, but Terry Bollea is playing Hulk Hogan. So that's something you got to kind of reckon with.
Well, you know, what's ironic too, is Hulk Hogan, the character, he had a history of always getting turned on by his buddy, right? So whether it was Paul Orndorff or Randy Savage or who else, you know, different guys turned on him at different times. Andre the Giant, different guys turned on him at different times. As a wrestling fan, you could look at that and you could think, Hogan, he deserved to get turned on. So like,
well, he did, Bubba's wife.
Well, there you go. But. Like Paul Orndorff, as an example, Hogan was like always showboating in the ring with Paul Orndorff, showing that he could body slam Big John Studd when Paul Orndorff couldn't. And Randy Savage, Hogan is putting Elizabeth on his shoulder and saying, she's my manager now, and tapping her on the ass. There was always, you could look at it and say, he deserved to get attacked.
I brought that up the other day. I was like, the Roman Reigns character is lying and gaslighting people. And it's right. like, Hulk Hogan, the character, gave people those reasons. Hulk Hogan, he was a dirty wrestler. He was raking people's back and eyes and
raking their eyes
with his t-shirt. He would wear a t-shirt to the ring and strangle a heel with it.
And the crowd loved it. And the crowd loved it.
I don't know. He cheated Sid Vicious out of a Royal Rumble victory. Like Hulk Hogan, the TV wrestler, was such a heel.
He did. He was. And the crowd couldn't get enough. And, you know, even before the lawsuit, in terms of like real life Hulk Hogan controversy, I think of the Arsenio Hall interview. Mm-hmm. And that was years before the lawsuit.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And again, if you're a newer fan and you're not familiar, he went on the Arsenio Hall show. This is when the steroid scandal was coming out with Vince McMahon. And Hogan went on the Arsenio Hall show and claimed that he had only used steroids like twice for injuries. And yeah. I think even Vince had told him, don't do it. And Hogan, he felt the need to kind of distance himself from the...
Later said that he really regretted doing that.
Yeah, of course, because it was foolish. It was foolish. Yeah. And everybody knew that he was full of shit.
But, and like back then, it's like the steroids were the worst thing that you could possibly... Oh my God, you can't do that.
Yes.
Now people are just like... You'll look at a wrestler and go, yeah, they're on steroids. Guess it's their own life type of thing.
Yeah. But people are a lot more educated now. They understand cycling and all that stuff. But But yeah, you know, another thing about Hogan too is, you know, there's this debate now in this era of wrestling about in-ring versus characters and moments kind of thing. And Hogan is the perfect example of how characters and moments are where the money historically has been in pro wrestling, because I'm not sure anybody's going to look at Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3 and say, that's a 5-star classic.
No, it's a horrible match.
But that body slam is iconic. And I'd go so far as to say it's not only one of the greatest moments in pro wrestling, it's one of the greatest moments in sports, that body slam. Mm-hmm. I've seen it thousands of times. I'm sure
I miss the flash bulbs. You'll never be able to replicate the flash bulbs and stuff like that existed then.
Yes, 100%. Yep. And all the other notable moments and storylines, like I mentioned, the feud with Paul Orndorff and the Mega Powers exploding and the showdown with the Warrior and jumping to WCW, turning heel, which in retrospect beats the shit out of John Cena's heel turn, given where Cena's gone. But the heel turn, forming the NWO, the year-long story with Sting, even though the finish to the match sucks.
Well, let's get to those things. Let's slow down a little bit. Let's slow down a little bit, and let's talk about in-ring. Let's talk about some of his best matches in-ring. As Brandon Rosen shares a memory, he says, my first wrestling card was a house show at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. I did an interview there a few years ago. He says, in 85, where the main event was Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake against Hogan and Andre. Love him or hate him, it's one of my best memories. And Fitzgerald says, as much as I disliked Hogan, what he did for the wrestling business can't be taken away. RIP. When people think of wrestling, people think Hogan same way Jordan was for the NBA. That's how big he was. Jordan was, again, the mascot, the logo, his silhouette. Mm-hmm. Like people recognize that with basketball, probably a lot more than the Jerry West silhouette as well. Josh says, seemed like someone who would always be around, didn't like the man, but still in shock. The way I explained it, Jimmy, is it was not surprising, but it was shocking in that sense. And let's talk about some of the matches, like some of his best in-ring matches.
In-ring matches. Yes. I mean, I remember he has some great in-ring ones in Japan, which kind of surprised people.
Against Inoki. Yeah, he had a really good one against Inoki. There were some good Hulk Hogan matches. Like, throw star ratings out the window. All due respect to the gentleman that does that. But like Hulk Hogan versus The Rock was a good match. That was a fun match. That was what pro wrestling really is.
All-time legendary match. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a good match against Bob Backlund back in like 1980 before Hulkamania was like a big thing. He had good matches with Macho Man Randy Savage. Like a 1985 match between those two gentlemen was just incredible. I think that the Hogan Warrior match at WrestleMania in 1990 was very underrated.
Oh yeah.
And I think misremembered because of the people that they were. Another terrible person, Vince McMahon, they had an entertaining street fight match at WrestleMania. Like that match had no business being as good as it was.
Shawn Michaels.
The Shawn Michaels stuff was very entertaining. Stuff against Flair in WCW in 94, I did not expect. When I went back and watched that match, I think I want to say 10 years ago, I had never seen it. Mm-hmm. I did not expect a 1994 Hogan Ric Flair match at Bash at the Beach to be anywhere near as good as it ended up being. So, I mean, like, we're not talking about a guy who had absolutely no solid in-ring matches or anything like that. He was a part of one of the greatest Royal Rumbles of all time in 1992. Although I do feel like his involvement at the end of the match made it worse. It could have been better without his involvement.
Did you know that they redubbed the commentary on that finish?
No, I didn't.
So Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, and you can probably find it on YouTube, they had to redub the commentary because Heenan was crapping all over Hogan when it happened live. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember Gorilla Monsoon saying about Sid Vicious, something about what a bad guy he turned out to be because Sid Vicious eliminated Hogan first. Yes. And so the spin was that made Sid the bad guy, even though it was a legal elimination.
Sure. I'll tell you all a couple of matches if you can track down. He had a couple of cage matches against Big Boss Man in 1989 that I was able to get back and watch. Whew, boy, Big Boss Man was a worker back then.
You can find some good stuff too from MSG. MSG had some great ones. Yeah. And I've talked about this one before. Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper against Harley Race and Paul Orndorff from Madison Square Garden. Fun match because that was the first time that Hogan and Piper teamed together because they had been feuding for so long.
Yeah.
And they stared at each other before every tag. They just kind of stared each other down. That's a great tag match. So go back and look for that one.
So, I mean, like even in, I want to say probably I want to say it was in AWA when Andre, do you remember when Andre and Hogan teamed together and they faced like five or six people?
Four or five people. They teamed a bunch. Yeah.
And it was like, ended up being like very, very fun stuff. It'd be like Bobby Heenan and Bockwinkel and Ken Patera. And I think it was Bobby Duncombe is who it was. Like that one is highly regarded as well. That man was everywhere. I mean, I'll tell you one that shocked me. It was Hogan and Tenryu versus the Road Warriors in Japan in 91, well past Hulk Hogan's like physical ability to do a lot of stuff. And I think that's a lot of where the reputation of, well, he put on his working boots when he went to Japan type mm-hmm. of thing came from, because he would like, honestly, if you had to rank in ring, completely separate the story from it, there's a good chance that like four or five of Hogan's best 10 matches were in Japan. Like if you put top 15, top 20, there's a good chance like his 10 best in ring matches were in Japan.
Most likely. Yeah. I mean, WWF audience was just a very different audience.
Yeah.
And again, it was more about the characters and the moments. I mean, I have so many memories. So when I was a kid, I used to be able to get MSG Network on satellite. And every month they showed the WWF show, because back then the WWF was at Madison Square Garden every month, and they showed them on the network. And Hogan had, I mean, he took on everybody. Kamala got world title shots. Sika got world title shots. I think Killer Khan got a world title shot. Like he took on everyone. And I have a vivid memory of, I think it was Killer Khan that spewed the mist. Mm-hmm. And he went to spew the mist, and Hogan had his hands taped. And I remember as a kid thinking, how come Hogan's never got his hands taped? How come his hands are taped? He caught the green mist, raked the eyes, and then dropped the leg. So I was like, there you go.
We're going to get to some of these super chats, humper chats. It's the Juggla wishes you a happy birthday. JMWG says, not a fan of Hogan in recent years, but love the mega powers. Strange feeling. Elizabeth and now Hogan are all gone. I'm actually going, I might go today or tomorrow to this Miss Elizabeth Museum exhibit near me, but Mega Powers is one of the all-time great storylines. It was
ahead of its time, really. It was ahead of its time because this was a time when, you know, talking about things like sexual scandal or adultery or anything like that didn't happen on WWF television because it was so child friendly.
Sure.
And there was Randy Savage saying, "You lust for Elizabeth." And there's Randy Savage showing a clip of Hogan. And I'm sure it was done accidentally, but it was like a happy accident where Savage put Elizabeth on his shoulder and she almost was going to fall off. And so Hogan gave her a tap to balance her. And it just so happened that he touched her on the butt. and Savage used that, you know, as part of his promos. It was, it was ahead of its time. And what I loved about that angle is they did it for a year, like for a full year, there'd be little teases. Even when they were a happy tag team, Savage sometimes would give Hogan a look. And it was just an all-time great story. I didn't like the finish at WrestleMania 5, but
sure,
all-time great story.
It was really great to hear that Hogan and Savage made good before Savage's passing
right.
as well.
Right.
Very good to hear that.
Hogan and Warrior, of course, as well. Hogan and Warrior as well.
Yeah, but I mean, like, specifically with Savage, they were so close at one point.
Yeah.
Hogan and Warrior were never like super close or anything like that. But like, and of course, I mean, Hogan had a rich history with lying as well. So when he said it, you got to wonder, did that happen? But Lanny Poffo came out years later or I think shortly after and said it did. Shotgun Sean says Hulk Hogan could have been the greatest if Terry Bollea hadn't kept getting in his way. His last appearance is even more awkward in hindsight. Yeah, it definitely is. Misfit says I was one of the many who hated Dungeon of Doom crap, but it's not hot. We'll never not be funny. That was such a weird era.
It was really bad.
Like, it was. I mean, in general, because again, it's hard to make Hulk Hogan sympathetic because he's big and muscular and he's bigger than everybody. And that one was wild.
I mean, when you go back and look at wrestling from 90, maybe 3, 92, 93, that's when the crowd turned on Hogan. And that's around the time that Vince McMahon, was looking to get away from him as his draw. I don't know if you remember WrestleMania 8 was supposed to be Hogan's swan song in the WWF. And they did a thing on television where he and McMahon had a sit down interview and Vince shook his hand at the end of the interview. And they made it look like Hogan was going to be done because by then the crowds were turning on him. And if you remember when The Undertaker beat him for the title, I think it was 91 Survivor Series. And when he pinned him, the crowd popped.
Yeah.
Because at that point they were kind of over Hogan. And so when he continued with the campy stuff, like remember when Brutus Beefcake came back and they called themselves the Mega Maniacs.
Yep.
It was just a lot of campy stuff. And the heel turn came at the perfect time for him in 96.
Yeah. Dustin says, I can have empathy for a loss and also acknowledge someone is flawed. Following Ozzy and Malcolm this week, my childhood is fading fast. Indeed, another Hall of Famer in Ozzy Osbourne. Rob Reed says, it's weird. There was a time I would have been heartbroken after 2015. Everything I looked up to went up in smoke. That's how a lot of people feel. Enormous says, happy birthday to Jimmy. Here's a small sack of money for a good cause. My thoughts on Hogan are, by Felicia, he was a legend until he wasn't. Yeah, like it's easy to reckon with. Okay, the guy was a politician behind the scenes and protected himself and held people down. But that's the type of thing that's like, okay, well, that way different. So this is another one. The man and icon, even Hogan knows best, was revolutionary for reality TV, RIP Hulkster. So this is something I spoke about with Extra. I was like, before that, we didn't have a real behind-the-scenes daily look at a wrestler's life before or after anything, even though it's highly fictionalized, dramatized, and it was a sitcom is what it really was. It's a sitcom parading as a reality show. But still, we hadn't seen that, Jimmy. Shoot interviews were like a few years old, really, and we were seeing Hulk Hogan living his life, and that was, you know, that was something that we had not seen before.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can even try to say was as close to it would have been like Hogan brought had his parents on television when he won the title. Sure. And I think his parents were on television a few times. I remember Ricky Steamboat's wife, Bonnie, was on TV when he was doing the feud with Savage. But in terms of TV, yeah, the families were usually kept out of it. And really TSN's Off the Record in the late 90s was the first time I can ever remember shoot interviews happening on television.
Yeah.
And the Hogan thing, yeah, obviously it was very much, you know, dramatized and scripted, but you still saw Hogan because he was still involved with wrestling at that time.
Oh, no, it was literally his like last real WWF runs. It was the Shawn Michaels period, the Randy Orton period is what that was.
Right. And so they would show him preparing and you know, watching back the footage. And yeah, it was interesting.
First, his best match was his Thunder Lips. Not Hulk, never been a fan of Hogan, past or present. But glad to give money to a cause in the name. So the movies, We can talk about the movies as we thank Kay for saying it's always necessary to stand against racism. The movies, the tie-ins with pop culture, all that, as Misfit brings up that Mr. T is the only one left from WrestleMania 1. Now, obviously, his movie and TV career, it sucked. It was bad. He was not a good actor. But
yeah, but he was a pioneer, though. He was a pioneer.
He was a pioneer. He was a pioneer. And there were a lot of people that probably got a lot of opportunities down the line. Now, again, 100%. There might have been some people that Hollywood looked at and said, do we want to do that again? Do we want to try that again as well? But like,
yeah, it was a different era. Wrestling was looked at differently. You know, wrestling, when I was a kid watching wrestling, it used to be frustrating because I didn't get pay-per-view when pay-per-views first started.
Sure.
And trying to get the results on the news the next day, either they never covered it or they joked about it and poked fun at it. And that's why I always loved Regis Philbin and I always loved Arsenio Hall because they gave it respect. But one thing I'll say about Hogan, I mean, there were other pro wrestlers that got into acting before Hogan on the U.S. scene. Because obviously, if you want to look at Mexico, there are massive Mexican wrestlers that did well in film in Mexico. But on the U.S. scene, like Professor Toru Tanaka, he did stuff before Hogan did in film. But in terms of a U.S. wrestler who like got to the top of the ladder in wrestling and then translated that to acting, Hogan was really the first, I think. And when you look at, you know, Jesse Ventura came after him, Roddy Piper came after him. And then, of course, years later, The Rock and Dave Bautista and John Cena. Hogan set the stage. He was the first one.
And he appeared on the A-Team. They had the Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling cartoon, all that stuff. But I mean, like, from a movie film standpoint, no, it's funny. I asked Tony Khan one time, because I love the movie Draft Day. Who doesn't if you haven't watched it? And I was like, Tony, how accurate is draft day to the NFL? Because it's a crazy idea. And he goes, well, he's like, it's a fun watch, but it's like no holds barred for pro wrestling. And I go, that is a perfect comparison. Like that is that one really makes sense. But like he did Santa with muscles and.
You know what's underrated? Suburban Commando is an underrated movie.
So I've never watched that and I'm going to go back and watch it.
Underrated. Soon. It's not bad.
And yeah, I think that the majority of his movies were not making money and it lasted a couple years. And then he didn't have much in like 94, 95. He was pretty committed to pro wrestling during that period. I think after like Thunder in Paradise, was it that kind of fell flat. He was like, you know what? Let me go back and do wrestling. But you know, he came back, did the Hollywood Hogan era and had, honestly, he had probably his busiest years as an actor during the NWO period because he had like six movies. None of them were like big movies or anything.
I think they were produced by AOL Time Warner at that time, and a lot of them were like TV based on TBS or whatever.
Yeah, I remember Three Ninjas was one and all that, but he had like a very busy schedule during that period because he was gone so much. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like he definitely paved the way. With the Hall of Fame March Wing, what Hogan match or Match Wing? What Hogan match would you add? I would assume WWE goes Andre. My vote would be the Bash six-man tag for the moment.
There's so many in terms of like match moments.
The moment of the body slam is big, but the match of Rock versus Hogan is big. So I would 100%. Go Rock Hogan.
Rock Hogan's great. Warrior Hogan's great. I mean, Hogan and Andre for the slam is great. Savage Hogan at WrestleMania 5, I actually didn't think was that great. I thought the build was a lot better than the actual match. But those are good ones to start, I think. And again, like a lot of entertaining matches that he had weren't on pay-per-view. A lot of them were either Saturday Night's Main Event or Madison Square Garden or other live events that happened to be televised where he had a lot of interesting matches. I remember he had a lumberjack match against Randy Savage at Madison Square Garden, I think in 86. And it was another good one. Savage was one guy back in the day. This is when Savage was the Intercontinental Champion. He was the one guy that Hogan didn't actually pin a lot. They would do like a count out finish or a DQ finish, but Savage was the one guy that didn't pin him very much.
Taylor wishes you happy birthday, makes a donation. We thank you.
Appreciate it.
Rock the Mic says, as a near 40-year-old black man, my heart is broken, not because I'm in mourning, because I've been robbed of the opportunity to mourn a man who captivated my imagination as a child. So this is a very conflicting feeling that a lot of people are feeling right now. A person so identifiable with their childhood who Quite frankly, over the last 10 years, a lot of people have been waiting for him to really quite make it right. Now, I'm sure you could find an apology on the Today Show or something like that, but we are also very privy to how things went to the people that he should have apologized to directly and their reactions to such. And we have seen a lot of recountings of that. And that is unfortunately something that is something we got to reckon with. Finn McAwesome says, dropping another comment for the cause. Happy birthday, Jimmy. Look at this. People are showing up for your birthday for some reason.
Appreciate Jimmy. It sucks that we're talking about this on my birthday. Yeah. But at the same time, when you get to be my age, you don't really celebrate birthdays much anymore. So
likewise, shout out to you for matching funds. I remember his last Raw appearance. They had plans to have him appear on more shows, but that went away. Maybe this was why. Shout out to the Sheik.
I think they recognized the reaction that he got.
It was because of the reaction. Yeah, that's what it was. So. We had reported about that on Fightful Select for quite some time. But I mean, the Iron Sheik account, which is now listed as a parody account, posted pictures of Hogan and Sheik together. Obviously, it's run by his former managers.
Yeah.
But E. Parham says, I don't envy WWE and how they navigate this. This is $15.99 plus some less. Listen, I don't want to take a shot at him, but thank you for the cause. I don't think WWE is going to have any conflict as to how they handle this. They are going to celebrate Hogan
lots of highlights. Yeah,
lots of highlights. Like they had already come to terms with using Hulk Hogan again, so this certainly will not cause anything for that. Like they are going to celebrate him heavily.
Yeah.
Vicky says, "Hi Jimmy and SRS, thanks for or donation for your cause. Will AEW have anything as a tribute with the band? Happy I get to see Jimmy and thank him. I think maybe a graphic or something like that. He never appeared on their show. They didn't have a relationship.
They'll just do a graphic. 100% they'll do a graphic.
Hulk Hogan, the character, was a superhero. Terry Bollea, not so much. Donating to a worthy cause. Happy birthday, Jimmy. I think that's pretty apt. Happy birthday, Jimmy. When people pass, they're remembered for how they lived. So this chat is for the donation match, not Hulk's memory. Love you guys. But I mean, that's the thing. A lot of people view how Hulk Hogan as like how he lived, as how he lived in front of the camera before he was caught on camera saying those horrible things, those horrible racist things. And those are the memories that a lot of people are opting to go with. And, you know, every person has the right to do so.
And, you know, I will say this too. I've seen a lot of interviews over the years with veteran wrestlers that worked with him in the 80s. And you would think because he was by far the biggest star, the biggest draw, made the most money, you'd think there'd be a lot of animosity, jealousy, and I'm sure there was.
Sure.
But I've seen so many interviews with veterans where they put him over because they said that he allowed them to make more money. And if they were on a card with Hulk Hogan, they would make more money. And the merchandise.
You see it a lot less out of the people from the 80s. You see a lot more of the politics happened in the 90s type of thing, holding him down. Because in the 80s, there are certain waves of people that recognize when someone is a meal ticket.
Yes.
NHL players and Gretzky, NBA players and Michael Jordan, pro golfers and Tiger Woods, for example. Maybe one day WNBA and Caitlin Clark, assuming everything stays on track there. But with Hulk Hogan, a lot of people wanted on his house show loop specifically because they would make more money. We've got Uncle Donk saying, here to pay my respect to Hogan, not Terry Bollea. First pay-per-view main event was Mania 9. Oh, that's a bad one. That's a bad one. When Hogan defeated Yoko, my perception of him has changed, yet he is still in my wrestling Mount Rushmore. His daughter must have conflicted feelings.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, of course. Well, WrestleMania 9 sucked too, Jimmy.
Yeah, it did. It did. I'm trying to think, was there anything good about WrestleMania 9 at all?
Even like one of the best matches,
Razor
like,
and Backlund was kind of
it was, but it was short. It was so short.
Yeah.
It was so short. And I had people like the Steiner brothers and Head Shrinkers was okay.
Yeah. It was
that
all
one
right.
was okay. Yeah. But I remember the documentary came out and one of the super fans was like, oh, you know, it's a shame people remember it for that. Cause it was an underrated show. And I was like, huh? That show sucked. And then everybody was in my mentions like, oh, the Steiner brothers and Head Shrink. Oh, congratulations, one match. Congratulations, yeah. One match.
I remember that as a kid, I was so intrigued to see The Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez because Giant Gonzalez was so enormous. Yes. I was intrigued, and man, was it bad. Because no, the guy just couldn't move. He couldn't move.
I want to say, that show should not have sucked that much. Tatanka and Shawn Michaels didn't need to be a count out.
It was the opener, I think. Yeah.
Could have been a better match, too. Steiners and Head Shrinkers was good. Doink was over as a character.
I forgot about that. That was actually pretty good. Doink and Crush was all right.
That was a horrible match. Horrible match.
No, but they did the double doinks and Steve Kern, and that was all right.
Sure, all right. But a terrible match. Okay, moment. Razor and Backlund, listen, I don't hate that.
Yeah.
It was just short, but you know, I think it kind of should have been short because they were really like putting the things down on Razor. Luger and Mr. Perfect sucked and it shouldn't have sucked. That should have been way better. Money Inc. and the Mega Maniacs, I'm just like, God, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to do, first off, if it's going to be, it was a waste. A world tag title match. Honestly.
Do you remember Fur Face, Sean?
I do. But I would have rather them have the Mega Maniacs just win the titles, yep. Like, and have a short run. Like, that would have been cool. And then chop, like, 6 minutes off that. Undertaker Giant Gonzalez was never going to be good. It was never going to be good.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say is thank God they had the foresight to have Giant Gonzalez get DQ'd so they could do the streak. And Yokozuna Bret was a disappointment. A 9-minute main event.
Yeah. Yeah. And those guys had some decent match. I loved Yoko. Yoko was great.
Yeah.
You know, one of the all-time
Yoko is one of my favorites. One of my favorites. I don't think I would have been the fan today without Hogan. My first match was watching him slam Andre at 3, and for my money, the best heel turn, making the best faction in the NWO. Yeah, it's probably as far as execution, shock value, what it meant to wrestling. Yep. I think that Hulk Hogan probably had the money, draw. Turning business around. I think Hulk Hogan had the greatest heel turn of all time.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's funny looking back at Cena's turn, and some people actually said it was going to prove to be a bigger turn than the Hogan turn. And it's not even in the same atmosphere, but that was a great, great turn. Even though Bobby Heenan kind of ruined it on the commentary, it was still a great.
I love Bobby Heenan. I love that man. To imagine what we were robbed of from not having a Bobby Heenan podcast, man.
Have you ever seen his interview on Dennis Miller?
No.
Look it up.
I'm going to go watch it.
So Heenan already had throat cancer, but he could still talk.
Yes.
And he did an appearance on Dennis Miller's show, and Dennis Miller was losing his shit because Heenan was just so clever with the one-liners. Dennis Miller was just losing it. You got to go back and look that up.
Vin says Hulk is on the GOAT's list. Will be interesting to see how WWE will handle paying tribute to him on TV. Got told this in a work meeting and promptly left the meeting to search it. Happy birthday. Well, first off, thank you for donating. Again, I think WWE is going to heavily celebrate the life of Hulk Hogan.
For sure.
Again, I don't think WWE has a conflict or anything like that with that. Happy birthday, Jimmy. Was it ever true that he wanted to work Saudi? It was never a real possibility.
He was just looking at the money because everybody's getting.
He was looking at the money. The only way he could have ever feasibly have done it is if he never bumped at all, and probably never taken any offense. It would have undone so many. That man had a lot of surgeries, buddy.
The Muhammad Hassan run in at Mania, that was 20. Was that WrestleMania 20?
Had been 21.
21. Yeah. So that was 20 years ago, meaning that Hogan would have been in his early 50s. He couldn't do the leg drop by then.
Yep.
And if you go back and look at it, he did the big boot and threw them over the top because he couldn't do the leg drop.
Yep. And man, what's wild is he still worked like, I want to say, gosh, almost 20 matches after that. It was 18 matches. Isn't it wild to think, Jimmy? I'm looking back at his cage match. In the summer of 05, they're like, hey, so Hulk, we're going to have you work like 3 dark matches. They had him work 3 6-man tag dark matches. And I'm like, well, those will probably go up on the WWE vault now. Because it's Batista, Hogan, and Cena.
Really?
Against JBL, Angle, and Shawn Michaels. And then one is JBL, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H.
He teamed with John Cena. I had no idea. It's the first I've heard of it.
John Cena and Batista.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, because I'm trying to look back at like.
I bet you Hogan wanted to do that. He wanted to.
Maybe. I'm trying to look back. His last dark match before that was 1998. And it was Diamond Dallas Page and Kevin Nash against Bret Hart and Hollywood Hogan. Let me tell you, they put some of that stuff on the WWE vault too. It would do really good. Like if they've still got footage of that.
Right.
But
I'd like to see footage of the belt pull apart photo shoot that him and Bret did. You know about that, right?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I do remember that. Let me tell you, so RIP Mr. America, says Ken, and says happy birthday, Barry Bonds, Jennifer Lopez, and Jimmy Van. That's good company there. That's good company.
Great. I'm not the biggest J-Lo fan, but happy birthday to her.
Shout out to the Iron Sheik. So let's talk about some of his adversaries, Jimmy, because I don't want to get up and go grab it, but like back here, I got some John Tenta stuff, and a lot of that was made off the Hulk Hogan feud. Like Hulk Hogan, when he would sell for people, had the ability to make someone look godly. And like, this is the thing I brought up. Every time I saw a big fat dude with a skullet and a beard in a grocery store when I was a kid, I thought they could fight because of Earthquake.
Earthquake could fight.
He could fight.
Oh yeah, he could fight. Legit.
But I thought they all could fight.
Right,
the way Hulk Hogan sold for him, and because of how good Earthquake did. You'd have a lot of misses, but you'd have a few hits. Who were some of the people that, like, whether it be you growing up or throughout the time, made Hogan look like actually susceptible? Because Earthquake was one of them.
That's a good question. Made him look susceptible. Yeah. That's a good question. Andre, for sure.
Yes.
Andre was the first one, because if you remember watching, and again, if you're a newer fan, look on YouTube for the Piper's Pit segments before WrestleMania 3, because he was the first one, Andre, who got in Hogan's face, challenged him to the match. Hogan had a look on his face like, oh shit. And then they did a battle royal on Saturday night's main event before WrestleMania, and Andre dumped him over like nothing.
Yeah.
So Andre was the first one, but another one was King Kong Bundy. They did an angle where King Kong Bundy laid him out and supposedly fractured his ribs before their match at WrestleMania 2. So he was another one. Everybody that he feuded with at one point got the best of him before the match. The only one really that didn't was Warrior, but then Warrior beat him in the match. But like Paul Orndorff pile driver.
Yeah.
That was a great one. I'm trying to go back through my memory banks. I mean, Savage got the best of him until the match. You know who my favorite one as a kid was? The Bobby Heenan family. Because they had different factions in the WWF at that time. Jimmy Hart had a faction and Johnny Valiant had a faction, but Bobby Heenan was the one that had the top guys.
Yes.
And if you were in the Heenan family, you were going to be taken more seriously, at least until he brought in the Brooklyn Brawler. Otherwise, you were going to be taken more seriously if you were in the Heenan family. And I always loved when Hogan turned heel with the NWO and Bobby Heenan on top commentary goes, I told you. Because he feuded with them forever, with the Heenan family. So that faction was fantastic, and everybody in it. Harley Race had matches with Hogan, and of course Orndorff and Bundy. Big John Studd had a lot of matches with Hogan. Matter of fact, do you remember I told you in the past? If you look on YouTube, there's a match Hulk Hogan, Big John Studd outdoors in Puerto Rico, and in the middle of the match, it started pouring rain. And so if you look it up on YouTube, they held a bear hug for what felt like 3 hours.
Yes.
Because it was pouring rain. And I think they did one Irish whip and they slipped on the canvas, and then they decided to go home after that.
Yeah. And of course, once he turned heel, Sting, Luger, Goldberg,
Goldberg was a great one for sure. Yeah.
Goldberg was a great one, and one that Hogan recognized like, oh, okay, let's do something with him. And, I won't ever like the follow-up from the Luger thing, but Luger beating Hogan on WCW Nitro was iconic. And honestly, I think was the inspiration for the type of thing that we saw with Hangman in AEW recently, the Lex Luger moment. Mm. Sting, Starrcade 97. It went from what should have been one of the greatest moments in wrestling history to one that is mired in controversy because of Hogan being political.
Yeah.
That match should have been either a very quick squash or a sustained 8-minute beating where then the NWO comes down and you've got Brett, you've got everybody coming to make the save. This should have been WrestleMania 40 before WrestleMania 40 ever happened, or just Sting squashing Hogan and Hogan comes back whenever he's ready. But they, I was kind of a fumble there. But
one thing about Hogan behind the scenes too, one thing that was positive about him behind the scenes, and one thing was negative, aside from what you're talking about with getting involved in finishes. The positive was Hogan had the reputation of taking care of his friends.
Sure.
And I think about when he went to WCW, whenever it was 95 or whenever it was. And next thing you know, Honky Tonk Man's in WCW. Hacksaw Jim Duggan's in WCW. Brutus Beefcake's in WCW. He took care of his friends. Beefcake had their reputation forever before they had their falling out. So that was kind of the one positive on him. But on the other side, Hogan had the reputation. If he put somebody over, he wanted his win back. He had that reputation. And Warrior was brought into WCW so he could get his win back. Hogan, from what I heard at the time, really wanted Yokozuna in WCW because sure. He wanted his win back. And Yoko physically was not at that point yeah. anymore. But that was something about Hogan. If he put you over, he wanted it back.
And that loyalty you mentioned, like Duggan came into WCW and went like on a... He won like his last 50 WCW Saturday night matches.
He beat Steve Austin for like the US title or whatever it was, the TV title, whatever it was.
And the Beefcake thing and Horace. But that is also a bad thing, Jimmy, because I was a big TNA guy around 2010, and they were bringing in Bubba the Love Sponge, who never should have had a job in pro wrestling. The Nasty Boys, who...
Yep. Nasties were another one, yep.
All-time great merchandise. Buddy, let me show you. I'm ripping off the Nasty Boys to this day with these podcast frames. Like, that's the inspiration for me. Like, I love their gear. The Nasty I Am shirts they sold in TNA, incredible. Horrible workers at that point. And It wasn't just them, Jimmy. They, if you remember, they did that Hulkamania tour, and they started to bring in people from there, and they were like, let's bring in Orlando Jordan and Val Venus. And they were both terrible at that point. Like, really, really bad.
Didn't Orlando Jordan and Hogan have a... Oh, no, that was Warrior and Orlando Jordan
that had
a match in, like, Australia Warrior's last or something. Match. Yeah, that's right.
And it
was
so bad. They had Warrior do a crossbody off the top rope is, like, the big spot. La Lucha says, the kid in me is so sad. I'm super conflicted. NWO was special for my generation. As an adult, finding out about all the lies, all the racism, it's hard to forge. Wouldn't love wrestling without him, Flair, etc. So... the lies were just funny. The lies didn't hurt anybody. They honestly, it got to the point of humorous to me. Some of Hogan's lies, the racism hurt a lot of people's feelings and affected him greatly.
I don't even know when the lies started. Like, I don't even know when that started, but it just became a thing.
Probably the early 90s by the looks of it on Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I have a vivid memory of him doing an interview saying that when he slammed Andre weighed 700 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yep. You know? And then, you know what? Another one that comes to mind is when he put over Taker. And then yes. He said, my neck. And if you go back and look at it, there's like a foot between his head and the canvas.
Did you see the Taker Kane video where they rewatched one of their matches? And... Taker gets tombstoned by Kane, and Taker says on while they're rewatching it, you got me, brother.
Right. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Like it was Taker never forgot that.
Yeah, of course. That was his big moment. And then if you remember, he again, Hogan got his win back, right? Tuesday in Texas. That was the thing.
Him claiming that he almost was a pride fighter. And
did he say that? Because Rock said that.
Yeah.
I never heard Hogan say that.
Him claiming he was almost in Metallica at one point.
Get out. Really?
He claimed he was almost in Metallica. He says that one time he said that he wrestled 400 days a year because of the international dateline and all that stuff. And
although, if you think about his schedule, and sometimes they did the whole twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday.
400 days, not 400.
Oh, days, no, not he, matches? He said
never
days?
He wrestled 400 matches in a year.
I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm gonna look.
Trying to give him the benefit. Oh, somebody just said the George Foreman grill. That's a good one too.
He never wrestled more than 223 matches in a year,
which is still a shit ton. But yeah,
it is a lot. Yeah. It's absolutely a lot.
Foreman Grill. So Hogan would have been like a multi-millionaire, but he didn't pick up the phone fast enough.
Yes.
So the guy called George Foreman afterwards.
He claimed that he was up for the role, Mickey Rourke's role in The Wrestler.
I remember hearing that one. Yes. I remember
there was one. There was one time that he claimed that he partied with John Belushi after Mania, and Belushi passed.
In like 82 or something. Yeah.
It was like 82. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He claimed he fought pride fighters in the '70s. That's what it was. Pride fighting didn't exist till 1997.
Right.
But I mean, he could have just said he was training with people and all that.
Yeah. I mean, Matsuda, I think, was legit. Matsuda broke his leg.
I think he claimed that I think he claimed he was scouted as a baseball player by like major league teams. And that just
really, maybe him and Savage played together in the majors.
Did you see, not to change the subject, a figure I am absolutely getting major figures, Matt Cardona's.
I did.
Did a Cincinnati Reds, Randy Savage.
I did see that. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that the lies became a part of the lore. Right, like a lot of that, but I mean, honestly, like those are just kind of funny. Some of them, like I don't care about those.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anything, like you said, really hurt anybody. You know?
Yeah.
It was. I mean, more
there were some things that he said that hurt some people. Just not
sure, but I'm talking about that. Yeah, those lies. If anything, he was just trying to inflate his own reputation or his own lure, like you said, his own aura.
And that's one of the things where you conflate Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan, right? Like, because that's his thing. Hulk Hogan was saying that. I'm doing this interview as Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Vin says, ran into Hulk at CBC in Canada, asked him why he always overhyped Andre's weight, and he responded, he was a heavy dude. Oh, man. John says, say what you will about him, Hogan put wrestling on the map and into the mainstream. Even if you never watched wrestling, you knew who Hulk Hogan was. Yes, identifiable. The logo, the mascot.
Yeah, the yellow and red. Yeah,
the yellow and red. I mean, and there's something uniquely American associated with red and yellow, you know, and even nostalgic. You remember the ketchup and the mustard holders, the McDonald's colors, the Hulk Hogan colors. Like there's a lot of similarities there. Chris Maloney says the pop for Hulk up at WrestleMania 8 was unbelievable at Sky Dome. RIP Hulkster. I mean, that was an iconic moment, an iconic match, and just one of the great instances of reading the room in pro wrestling is what that was.
And it would have been Hogan, Steve Austin. That's kind of what makes it even more ironic.
And I wish we could have got that. I do, but.
But Rock in that moment made that match. Like, I don't think that Steve Austin. Yeah, it was the right call. Yeah.
It was the right call. Brandon Rosen says, remember the twin referee angle in Saturday night's main event when Hogan lost the title to Andre?
Of course.
One of the most shocking things I've seen in wrestling at that point. Jimmy, can you speak on that a little bit?
Yeah. So it's still the most viewed pro wrestling match in the history of wrestling television. It drew, I believe, over 30 million viewers on NBC in 1988. At that point, Dave Hebner was a referee in WWE, but Earl Hebner, I don't believe it started yet. And so they brought him in and they did an angle where Ted DiBiase supposedly got another referee to get plastic surgery to look like Dave Hebner so that they could screw over Hogan. And it was a massive success, except for Andre calling it the Tag Team Championship. Otherwise, it was a massive success. And I remember Hogan crying afterwards. And how much did you pay for the plastic surgery?
Yes. But, oh, God.
But that was an all-time. And again, just try to think, Sean, 30 million viewers on NBC.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the campy stuff that Hogan did, like when he pulled out the head of himself and he's like,
Do you remember that he had a motorcycle helmet that had a fist on it?
I do.
That was like kind of campy stuff.
I saw it at his beach shop. Yeah. I took my wife to a Titanic exhibit in Orlando and I looked across the street and I was like, oh, it's Hogan's beach shop. So I went over there and that goddamn fist helmet was there. Today's news has me feeling Vince Russo at Bash at the Beach 2000.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. to donate to a good cause. Again, it's one of those things where I say it's not surprising, but it is still shocking because, like, you don't know a world without this man being involved in the public eye in some capacity, right?
Yeah, I mean, larger than life figure. And it's always the larger than life characters that it's kind of hard to believe. And I mean, you and I, again, just yesterday we talked about, you know, the report from Bubba the Love Sponge, and we took it with a grain of salt because it's Bubba the Love Sponge. And at the same time, people that I know that knew him, they hadn't heard a lot. You know, that's what I told you yesterday. They said that his team had been keeping it really quiet. And so, you know, it's not like anybody could come out and say, oh, he's good. This is all bullshit. He's good. No one really did.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. I mean, he lived a hell of a life, you know?
Shadow says, what was the first match, Hogan match? He used Voodoo Child. I believe he used it in like June of 97 with the NWO, and he would use it here and there. Throughout
was that
period.
The maybe the first Sting match? Maybe I don't know. I remember he used it in WWE as well.
It wouldn't have been then because that would have been before that. But most of it's dubbed over, so you'd have to find like the stuff on YouTube. Well, let's talk about that really quickly because Hogan has a number of iconic wrestling themes. Real American, which was actually made for the U.S. Express, of course, even American Made. In WCW.
That was a Jimmy Hart special, that one.
The NWO theme, iconic.
Yeah.
Even he actually Wolfpack, that was iconic.
He used Eye of the Tiger after Rocky III. So like the first WrestleMania, he used Eye of the Tiger, which now I don't think it's hard to find now because like you said, they've dubbed everything over. But he used Eye of the Tiger. I remember that they had a instrumental song that was on the first wrestling album. Do you remember it had like the piano intro? And it was called
Ravishing is what it was called. I remember it.
It was called Ravishing? It's
called Ravishing. Bonnie
You're kidding.
No, it was, that's what it was
okay,
called.
But it was just instrumental and all it had was Hulk. And otherwise it was just instrumental, but that was like one of the first ones. And otherwise Real American was the song, man. That's the one everybody knows.
He used the Battlestar Galactica theme in Japan as well. So, I mean, but that is like Real American. So icon. I mean, Barack Obama used it to troll Donald Trump years later. Like it was a part of American culture and it is as American as a song gets. The NWO theme. Whew, that perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's wild. I want to shout out Mark Ramondi for doing a great job on that NWO book. And he kind of highlights like how much of this was luck, like the logo, the theme and all that stuff. The Wolfpack theme, even though it was kind of designed for somebody else, obviously
Dash and
but still he became a part of that and ended up using that iconic theme. And of course the Voodoo Child song, iconic. And Eye of the Tiger, listen, that was a little bit cheating, that one in Voodoo Child, but still
What about the Richard Belzer incident?
Belzer,
yeah.
Listen. I find that hilarious.
And by the way,
hilarious. I do.
Yeah, and again, if you're a newer fan, Richard Belzer was a dick in that interview. Yeah. And if you're a fan and go back and look it up on YouTube, I'll set the stage for you. It was before WrestleMania 1, and Hogan and Mr. T were doing press all over the place. They actually did Saturday Night Live the night before WrestleMania.
Yes.
Because they were doing all this press. So Richard Belzer was a comedian that had a talk show and he was just a dick. And Hogan and Mr. T went on his show and Belzer was just being a jerk. And it got to the point where he wanted Hogan to put a move on him. And Hogan put a front face lock. And I've seen this interview a bunch. Mr. T was like really cinching in. He's like, he really wants it. He really wants it. And Hogan with those friggin' biceps cinched it in. Belzer
He cinched in. Okay, listen, it's not really how you do a guillotine choke, but when you are the size of Richard Belzer and the size of Hulk Hogan, you don't have to you don't have to do anything except for it. But he got under there so good. Yeah, first time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is going to go bad.
Right.
It is not a surprise that television show only lasted 6 episodes. Younger people might remember Richard Belzer as the older gentleman on Law & Order SVU.
Right, that's right.
He had a very successful career after that.
Well, he also had a very successful lawsuit. Yeah. Because when Hogan let go and he smacked the floor and he was able to wake up and he had blood coming from the back of his head, you knew he was, you know, things were not going to go well. So I think
$400,000 for it.
Yeah. I never heard the amount. Was that the amount?
It's $400,000 is what okay. was. Yeah. Which it took him years. But like, I think they didn't settle, or I didn't think they settled till like 1990 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. That's another one of the classic Hogan moments.
Do you think Hogan will get a 10 bell salute tomorrow on SmackDown? Here's some extra for the cause. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I would say so. Nothing would surprise me that they did. You know what yeah. I mean? None of that would surprise me.
There's still wrestlers, even with the dark cloud kind of over his name, there's still wrestlers that are big fans of his and grew up watching him. I'm sure somebody's going to be out there doing something Hogan-esque. Maybe they're going to drop a leg or cup the ear. Which honestly, ironically enough, Hogan took that stuff from Austin Idol. Yeah. He took tearing the t-shirt and he took cupping the air from Austin Idol. But yeah, and they're going to do a lot of highlights. You're going to see the Andre Slam. You're going to see Rock Hogan. Unless Hunter doesn't want Rock on there. Otherwise, you're going to see Rock Hogan. You're going to see Warrior at WrestleMania 6. Like, they're going to show all that stuff.
We got Denny Burkholder donating. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Very, listen, a very talented writer, researcher of his own. Thank you for coming by. Diable says, Thunder in Paradise movie on VHS is a core memory for me. Is there a Hogan match worth watching from New Japan? I would argue that there are a number. And even if it's not just New Japan, like part of the SWS yes. partnership as That's well, right. had a couple as well. But the ones from New Japan that are most famous were, I think it was All Japan when he faced Stan Hansen in 90. Antonio Inoki in, I want to say, 83. And then he faced him again in 84. The one in 84 is okay, not as good. Faced Great Muta in 93, pretty solid. He had a match against all people, Abdullah the Butcher in 82. So yeah, there's quite a few that you can go and, well, if you can find them, check out. I don't know if they're on World New Japan World or what they might be on.
I think Tenryu too, didn't he? In like 93 or 94?
Yes.
I thought.
Yeah. But I think that one was SWS.
Yeah, SWS. Yeah, not New Japan. Yeah.
That was SWS. We got Vin saying first memory of Hulk was Bundy in Morocco killing him on Saturday Night's main event in 86. Started crying. Dad walked in and told me it's fake. What a seller Hulk was. Yeah. When did you find out it was fake, Jimmy?
I don't even know. I'll tell you one moment that stands out that surprised the hell out of me. It was the early 90s and Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon was given some kind of an award. I think it might have been by Madison Square Garden or something. And at that time, Vince was just the broadcaster.
Yeah.
As far as the television perspective goes. And they showed a clip on whatever their weekend television was on USA Network of Hogan presenting the award to Vince at this award ceremony. And when Hogan introduced Vince, he said, "Here he is, my boss, Vince McMahon." And I went, "What?" And this was before the internet. So it's not like I could Google it. But that got me looking more into magazines and stuff and found out that, oh, shit, Vince McMahon's a promoter. And that's kind of where it all started coming together.
I just know that I found out at some point and I just didn't care. Right. Just like, I don't care. It's fun. Dark Knight Dev says, as a brother conflicted with Hogan, while a racist, I also appreciate what he gave to the art form. Feel the same way about Benoit. I mean, listen, there's so many people in, like, whether it be Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, Kanye West, like people that have done and said crazy ass things. And like a lot of people are reckoning with that to this day. The Benoit thing is interesting. Did you see the news about Our Lady Peace today?
No.
They redid the whatever song, the Chris Benoit theme,
really,
and eliminated the riff. And they've done like they're doing like charitable donations for, I guess, streams and stuff like that. But I'm like, what did Jim Johnston do? Like, he wrote it. Like, what? Chris Benoit didn't write the song.
Yeah.
Like, I understand a lot of people identify it with Benoit, but completely separate of it, song's a slapper. Like, I'm not sitting here blaming Rick Derringer for the stuff that Hulk Hogan said.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've seen clips from concerts where they perform that song.
Yeah, and they just started to recently because they stopped for a long time.
Okay.
But it's a very good song, and it's one that got them a lot of fans. We're almost at the end of our Super Chats, Humper Chats. I want to thank you all, but Meat Normus says more money for the UNCF. Would have needed it if I were worse at football. Appreciate you, SRS. Enjoy that tomahawk, Jimmy. You get that tonight, yeah?
Yes, I am. I saw it in the kitchen. It's all seasoned up, and I think it's 28 ounces. Now, that includes the bone. Yeah. That includes bone, but I think it's 28 ounces, so I'm going to have probably a solid dozen.
Okay. We have a few more that for some reason didn't go on the starred section, but it says Hulk. Listen, I'm not going to, again, make jokes about that, but thank you for the donation. Bell's Boy says, happy birthday, Mr. Van. The only original members left of the NWO now are Six and Kevin Nash, with Hogan and Hall now gone. And, I mean, Bischoff as well. There's Bischoff. Hogan and Muraco series is one of his best rivalries. What say you all? I think in totality, Orndorff probably was the best one. But where do you stand on that as far as best feuds?
So for me, Hogan Muraco didn't have like a major storyline. They did house shows, and I saw a couple of matches back in the day from because they used to televise some of the house shows. So I've seen clips from the house shows, but he didn't have a major storyline with Muraco. And so there's no match that really stands out. If anything, for me, Muraco, Ricky Steamboat was way more memorable. And this might be before your time, but you know how ECW, they got heat for doing stuff like the crucifixion with Raven and stuff. And,
yes.
And there were times when angles got heat because one guy hung another guy over the top rope. The first time I ever saw that was Muraco doing it to Steamboat. Yeah. Where he hung Steamboat over the top rope. But in terms of Hogan Muraco, not really.
Did you ever watch Forever Hardcore, the ECW documentary? Not One Night Stand. It's the Jeremy Borash version.
Yeah, I might have once or twice.
It's on YouTube. I encourage everybody to just do. I don't think that Borash can make more money off of it at this point. I think it's probably out of print. But Sandman talked about how he got crucified, and Raven went out and apologized. And when they asked Sandman to apologize, he's like, "I can't. It's not even Easter yet." Uncle Tonk says Macho's Be a Man Hogan diss track would not existed if they never crossed paths. So Jimmy, did you know they did a re-release of that album on vinyl like in the last year? It sold out immediately. Like
really?
there were lines to get the limited presses. Yes.
Who did that? Is that like Savage's estate or something?
Let me look. But It was very popular. Very popular. Ooh, it is still available on vinyl on Amazon. I am going to get some of those. They were sold out locally.
Do you have a record player? Like a vinyl player?
Yeah, of course I do. Okay. I collect vinyl. I rarely listen to them, but I do collect them.
Okay.
My rule is, though, I don't want to buy anything online. I want to find it out in the world.
I see.
That's how I want to do.
Use stores or whatever.
We got a great one up the road from me. Pop's Resale. It's fantastic. But Steven says, think you've done a great job covering a difficult topic. Torn, aberrant actions, been a massive part of my childhood, plus own mortality looming. Great cause also. Well, I appreciate that. I mean, that is the unfortunate reality of which we live in as fans of entertainment, media, actors, and the new spotlight that has been shown on a lot of their behavior, especially over the last 10 years or so, Jimmy. It's something that is probably not going to go away anytime soon. We can only hope that it affects positively the behavior moving forward, you know?
I mean, this is, again, what the internet has kind of given us because, you know, again, Hogan in the 80s, you never saw anything aside from what you saw on television. Yeah. And so that attitude is, or I'll tell you a funny quick story. I used to go to live wrestling shows locally in the town where I'm from. And you remember International Wrestling in Montreal, where they had, you know, Tom Zenk and Rick Martel and Dino Bravo and Samu and all these guys. They would do live shows in my town and I would go watch them.
Sure.
There was a babyface wrestler named Ron Ritchie. I don't even know if you've ever heard the name.
Never heard of him.
Ron Ritchie was a babyface. And at that time, Rikishi was known as, I think a Loaf of the Polynesian Prince. Okay. That was a young Rikishi, and he was also a babyface. And I'm sitting watching the show, and Ron Ritchie and Rikishi or Lofa, they're standing just outside the locker room watching the match. Yeah. And me and a bunch of other kids go over and we ask for their autographs. Keep in mind that they're baby faces. We ask for their autographs. Ron Ritchie says, "Go fuck yourselves." And Alofa immediately grabbed him and brought him into the locker room. And maybe 5 minutes later, they both came back out. And not only did Ron Ritchie take pictures and do autographs, Alofa or Rikishi was super, giving everybody high fives, putting his arm around everybody. But I walked away from that thinking to myself, Ron Ritchie's a dick. And it was the first time that I saw a good guy wrestler who isn't actually a good guy.
Yeah.
That was the first time. But now with the internet, it's more prevalent. But I don't know if Ron Ritchie's still alive. If he is, you're a jerk.
Let me look. Ron Ritchie.
Yeah, you wrestler. Might have to look up. I don't know the spelling of his name, so you might have to look it up. Ron Ritchie, R-I-T-C-H-E-I. International Wrestling.
R-I-T-C-H-E-I.
Was that it?
Okay. Ron Ritchie. He retired in 92. Let's see. Let's look this up.
Don't know if he's still alive, but he was a jerk.
I think he is. I think he is. I don't see any news reports about him passing, which okay. Fortunately. Swaron says, thank you, Sean, Jimmy, and the entire team. Thank you for all you do. Well, thank you. And he also says, happy birthday, Jimmy. Ron Ritchie. Here we go. He retired in 92. It does not look like he has passed. So okay. We will be quick to say, Ron Ritchie, you were a dick.
but Rikishi won, or Alofa, you were awesome.
Yes. What was this show? Who was on this show? Do you remember the date?
No, it would have been 86 probably.
Okay. Where was it at?
Brockville, Ontario, Canada.
How do I spell Rockville?
Brockville, BR, like Brock Lesnar, BROCKville, okay. Ontario, Canada.
No date there. No,
yeah, it would have been 86. I remember, you know, my other memory of that show. What? My other memory was all the girls wanted Tom Zenk. Tom Zenk had a line of girls is waiting for a piece of him.
My God. Let me tell you, fella had a busy 1987.
Did he? Ron Ritchie?
Jesus Christ. Bob Ritchie.
No, It was Ron Ritchie. Or maybe Ron, Yeah.
Well, who gives a shit? What is
that? Well, maybe he went by Bob too. I don't know.
Through like from January through June, dude had 120 matches.
Okay.
Like, what a busy ass schedule, mm-hmm. Ron Rich. Ron was just tired, Jimmy. And then he wrestled up until August and took a few months off and then went over to New Japan for a spell.
You know who the biggest star was at that time?
Ron Ritchie.
No, not Ron Ritchie. Steve DeSalvo.
Was it Jude Rosenbloom?
I don't know who that is. But do you remember Steve DeSalvo? You know the name Steve DeSalvo? But
do you
Steve
remember Strong? Do you remember Ben Doom McDonald?
No, I can't say I do. Steve Strong was in WCW in the 90s. I think they called him like the Minotaur.
Oh, here's Ron Ritchie defeated Steve DeSalvo for the North American heavyweight title.
That's shocking. Steve DeSalvo was a much bigger star, at least by the time I was watching.
Well, he was looking at the fucking lights that night, buddy.
Wow. Good for Ron Ritchie. Good for him.
You know what speaks volumes to me? Honky Tonk Wayne defeated Ron Ritchie. So
I don't recall him being in that territory. Where was that? That must have been in the U.S.
Stampede.
Okay.
Stampede right. In Canada.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining. I want to thank our sponsors, NordVPN.com/Fightful. They are our biggest sponsor, as well as mybookie.ag. They allow us to do these shows uninterrupted like this on these topics, because I think it's kind of in bad taste to interrupt those and do ad reads. But please check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. It'll save you a bunch of money on your pay-per-views. MyBookie.ag, we greatly appreciate them. Of course, HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Invest in your sleep, 100 nights risk-free as well. And of course, Blue Chew and the code Fightful. It makes looking at the lights a lot more fun for you. Jimmy, it's your birthday. What are you going to do now?
I have to make a bunch of phone calls because I've been ignoring my phone for the last hour and 25 minutes. So I have to go do that and then get ready for my tomahawk in a few hours.
Well, we thank all of you for joining us. We want to send our love to the friends, the family, the fans of Hulk Hogan. As RDG says, sad day. I remember when Earthquake took out Hogan. They did a video tribute where the locker shuts at the end, and I cried that day. Listen, buddy, Earthquake was made when that feud with Hogan happened. I was sold forever. I became a fan for life of Earthquake.
They did a mail-in campaign, and that might have been the angle where they did a mail-in campaign and had like thousands and thousands of people sending cards and letters for Hulk Hogan, like wishing him well.
Pretty wild, right? Yeah. pretty wild. But again, I want to send my love to the friends, the family, the fans of Hulk Hogan. There are, you know, a lot of people that are deeply affected by, again, a very conflicting man, quite frankly, and an integral and influential performer. We, again, sending our love. Guys, I appreciate you guys for being here. We are here every night for reviews of all your favorite wrestling shows. And if you say, what about that one? The answer is yes, we are. Please support FightfulSelect.com and our original reporting. Until next time, we're out.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.